subject tonight, God and nothing. Now, our brother George has been taking us through the book of Genesis, and much that we shall say tonight, he has already spoken to us. Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. What a majestic introduction. In the beginning, God. No other book starts that way. No other book can start that way. And it is failure to recognize in the beginning God that has so many people wondering and guessing and hoping. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 136. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Verse 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. Psalm 146. Verse 5. Happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Chapter 45. Verse 18. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. And we could read many more scriptures. Just let's look at a couple more. God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made, came into being by him. All things were made by him. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. The scientists tell us of many things that we can't see. They talk about atoms. They talk about molecules. They talk about protons and neutrons. And more recently, they're talking about splits, These are little things that go between the molecules. Nobody has ever seen one. This verse says, all things were made by him, visible and invisible. The question arises, what did God use to make everything? If we're going to make something, we want material. What did God use to make everything? What was there available for him to make everything? And you know the answer, and I know the answer. There was nothing there. Then how did he create everything? And we come again to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. How did he make everything? There was nothing there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Verse 9, God said. Verse 11, God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 20, God said. Verse 24, God said. Who was he talking to? Who was God talking to when he spoke and brought all of this into being? Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Can you imagine that? There's nothing there. Can you imagine talking to... If you go outside there and start talking to nothing, they'll put you in St. Elizabeth. That's the place for the insane. But when God spoke, the whole creation came into existence. What a powerful voice. What a powerful word. The power of his word. Matthew chapter 8. He spoke everything into existence. I would imagine that God said, be, and everything happened. That's power, isn't it? That's great power. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come unto my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so shall it be done unto thee. His servant was healed the self-same hour. Isn't that remarkable? That would be real nice if we had people that could do that today. Just speak the word at a distance and get an answer. The power of God's word. John chapter 11. He spoke creation into existence. A powerful word. John chapter 11. Verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, that is the Lord, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And we were recently minded if he didn't call Lazarus, everybody dead would have come forth. What a powerful voice. What a word. Chapter 18, the power of his word. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now note, please, these words. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. You want me? I'm here. You can arrest me. As soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and so. That's power in the voice, isn't it? Power in the word. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11. 19, verse 11. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Do you think that was a physical sword? When Peter used the sword, he said, no, no, we don't fight that way. Paul tells us in his epistle, we don't use physical arms. And when he smote them with the sword of his mouth, you remember what we read in Ephesians? The sword of the Spirit is the instrument that we use. He spoke and defeated them. He spoke and brought creation into existence. What power in his voice. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. This book. And one of the errors that we make when we are seeking to lead people to the Lord is we argue the way they argue. Don't argue with them. Give them the book. Give them the word. It's amazing what this word will do in connection with the heart of a sinner. I remember years ago in New York City, we had what we called open-air meetings, street meetings. And I think of one brother there, John Conway, he's now with the Lord, and he'd be up there preaching. These were depression days. And men would listen and say, we don't want the gospel. We want food. We want jobs. We want a place to live. We want clothing. And John Conley would get up there and say, Mistress, I would gladly argue with you, but God told me to preach. And he'd just give them the word. You'd be amazed how many people were saved as a result of that preaching. The power of the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. power of the Word. Verse 16, we know this well. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Oh. And this voice is going to be so powerful that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then after that, we are going to be caught up. The power of God's word. He called creation into existence. His word is powerful today. Question. What supports the earth? Some of the ancients used to say that two elephants supported the earth. And when one elephant got tired and moved his paw, his foot, there was an earthquake. Others said, no, it wasn't two elephants, it was two turtles. And when they moved and shook, we had an earthquake. And still others had other things to say. Job chapter 26. Job chapter 26. Oh, this book is wonderful. You talk about science. Why, there's more science in the Bible than all the books and all the scientific places. Job 26, verse 7. He stretcheth out the earth over the empty place. Now, when you go home, check the empty place. Job knew about the empty place. And hangs the earth on what? Nothing. Oh, this is a beautiful book, isn't it? It is not a scientific book. But when it speaks of science, it's always correct. You know any other book like that? Wonderful book. Now, men have their theories. In the beginning, God created. Some tell us that the world came from a primordial soup. Now, the sisters here all know what soup is. Have you ever baked a soup or made a soup that can bring anything into existence? And then they speak of a primordial soup. You know why they say primordial? That's supposed to confuse you. They don't use words with two syllables. All of their words have four and five syllables. Primordial. And Phillips refers to that as high-sounding nonsense. Don't let these scientific words baffle you. Just high-sounding nonsense. Primordial soup. Who made the soup? What ingredients were in the soup? High-sounding nonsense. When I was in school, we had a course called embryology. Some of you studied that. The development of various species. The male unit and the female unit come together and develop. And in the textbook that I was required to study from, there was this statement, high-sounding nonsense, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Well, you'd almost bite your tongue to say that. They don't have it in the present-day textbooks. You know why? Because they found out it wasn't true. Just high-sounding nonsense. Then they say that the earth came into, and the heavens came into view by a big bang. All the banks I've ever heard destroyed. They didn't make anything. And when I hear two trucks bang into each other, I want to know, was anybody hurt? Big bang. High-sounding nonsense. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How are the heavens, the stars, the moon, how are they held in place? Down here, every day I turn on to hear the music, I hear about an accident. An accident. An accident. There are never any accidents with those objects that God has put in place. How do you explain it? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is before all things. And by him, all things hold together. That's why there are no accidents with the stars. And that's why the moon doesn't bump into the sun and the sun doesn't bump into the earth. Because he holds all things together. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the express image of God's glory, express image, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things, how? By the word of his power. He brought all things into existence by his word, and they're staying where he put them by the word of his power. Doesn't that make you feel good? He's my God. But we must go on. 8:10. Now we're going to read a few scriptures. I won't read or refer to all that I have here. I'm going to ask you to notice for one of three words. Curtain, stretch, span, and span. That's four words, isn't it? Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. Verse 8. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, which alone spreadeth out the heavens. Please note that. He spreads out the heavens. For the sake of time, Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Verse 2. Who covers thyself with a light as a garment, who stretches out the heavens. Stretches out the heavens like a curtain. The American Standard Version says, he stretches out the heavens like gauze. What do we learn from that? You know what a curtain is. There are these vertical fibers, then the horizontal. And in between those fibers, there are little places to let the light in. You take a piece of gauze, it's the same. There are little places to let body fluids out. Now imagine that you take a piece of gauze or a curtain and you stretch it. What's going to happen? The little holes are going to become larger, aren't they? God is the author, the creator of space. And when we see those wonderful objects in the sky and the spaces in between, God also created space. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I have to watch that clock. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord. Did we get that? The heaven and the heaven of heavens are the Lord. All those heavenly bodies with the space in between belong to the Lord. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 11. Psalm 89, verse 11. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. Heaven and the earth belong to the Lord. Psalm 115. He created the heavens and the space in between. The heavens, he said, and the earth belong to the Lord. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. Does man belong in space? Does man belong in space? The heavens with all the space belong to the Lord, and he has given man the earth. But as one writer has put it, what we are seeing today is the industrialization of space. Nations fighting and vying with each other to get into space. And I heard twice on the news, in about 10 years, they will have it so that you can take your vacation in space. I don't blame you, sir. That's a terrible thought. Space. He gave heavens, Lord. He gave the earth to man. But man is vying and vying and vying to get into space. What do you think you're going into space for? Revelation chapter 12. What is all this space business about? Verse 7. And they're building arms to go into space. Who can get there first with the most arms? What are they going into space for? They don't belong there. The Lord gave man earth. The heavens belong to God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Do you see why they're going through space? Going into space? War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. The space armamentarium is to prepare man to fight God. That's what the space flight is all about. But you know, we're going through space too. You read it in Hebrews. Many of your Bibles say that he went into space. The more correct reading is the Lord went through space. That's where he is. And you remember what he said? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He is not in space, he's through space. And when he comes and receives us unto himself, we are going through space. We're going on a space flight, you know. But you won't have to worry. There won't be any accidents. And the last time I mentioned this, Brother John over there came and said to me, and we won't have to pay for it. Isn't that beautiful? What do we conclude from this? What are our conclusions? It's amazing what God does with nothing. Isn't it? He called the whole creation into being from nothing. That's amazing. That's astounding. What God can do with nothing. The second conclusion, God creates out of nothing. Therefore, until a person becomes nothing, God will make him something. I have to stop here. At another time, we'll continue and show just how that works. God takes people who are nothing and makes something of them. I'll give you one example. Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7. One example of how God takes nothing and makes something. And if we want God to use us, we've got to become nothing. Amos chapter 7, verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I the son of a prophet. I was a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit, a very humble job. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy. You want to go up? Become nothing. And it's only as we become nothing, God will be able to use us. Time is about up. Let's sing hymn number one, please. How great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear thee rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sing one heart.
Great. Created everything out of nothing. Oh, what a God we have. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence with thanksgiving, with adoration for who thou art, for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for thy word. We are about to leave this sacred enclosure. Take us each one to our several places of abode in peace and in faith, we pray. And to thee we give thanks, majesty, glory, honor, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.